Porque siempre la afición se estremece con pasión cuando quedas entre todos campeón. Y se ve frente al balón a un equipo de verdad.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Partido Partido podcast, the English speaking podcast about all things Atleti. It hasn't been a great week for Atletico Madrid, but we are here covering it, and with us, to make up for that, you know, bad week for Atleti is our favorite AC Milan / Liverpool fan. Please welcome Maxi back to the show. How are you doing, Maxi?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I just got home from work, so now I'm relaxing a bit, enjoying the results this week.
Oh well, I mean that's a bit insulting, but we'll skip over that. And of course, Emmanuel is here with me. How are you doing, Emmanuel?
Well, I'm not in the best of mood, but well, hopefully, Atleti wins this weekend and things can become better for all of us continuators.
Brilliant. So, let's get right into it. Starting with the AC Milan game on Wednesday. Emmanuel, can you please give us your thoughts about the game?
Well, I've seen so many bad games that Atleti has played, and well, that game against Milan is right up there. Atleti played like a team without a game plan. Though Xavi said before the game, the team are prepared for Milan's high press and they know how to handle them. But Atleti really struggled. Milan started very well, high pressing Atleti choking up, because I think Cholo's game plan was for the fact that the team is going to defend, given Milan are going to have more of the ball, play high line. I think he went something similar to that, which worked perfectly against Liverpool. But the difference was Atleti panicked with the ball. Milan had much of the ball of the game. I think when Milan lost the ball in Atleti's half, Atleti were not able to progress, and Milan's counter press was very effective. Atleti also struggled on the right-hand side, where Llorente played as a right wing back. You had Theo Hernandez there. Well, basically the whole game, he was really good, and well, as continuous, we enjoyed that. But his passing and also his pace, I think Atleti struggled to cope with that. And also Brahim Diaz, who is a Real Madrid player on loan, where Real Madrid players causing Atleti trouble. And also, talking about the first half, it was really poor for Atleti. But I think there were moments in which the Rodrigo de Paul, Llorente link up really showed like he could create something for Atleti. But after, like from the 20th minute to maybe the 30th minute, everything just died down, because both of them were exchanging. You have de Paul giving a pass to Llorente, or Llorente giving a pass to pick out the post run, and basically created a very good opportunity with Griezmann mishitting the ball, I think. So, to be honest, that game, it was really bad, because, well, I had to watch it twice. The first time, which was very emotional, and the team lost, and watch it again the second time to try and analyze things. And it was like Atleti got things wrong. You had, in the second half, you have Jose Ma. I've never seen him play so badly, being drawn out of position. You have Hermoso on the left. I don't understand what he was going to do there. Then you see him not stalling, but diving into the tackle. And, well, overall, it was really a bad game, because Atleti couldn't really create something. And we have been relying, if you look at, I think, the games in which we have really been bad, we have been relying on individual brilliance to really score a goal. Carrasco's goal against Espanyol, it's like the team lacked a clear game plan of like an offensive mechanism. How do we create against a deep block, or how do we create against a team that is really sitting deep, or maybe how do we progress with the ball? It's like when they give Atleti the ball, we were panicking in that game, which was really sad to see. And to be honest, that game Milan deserved to win, not by just the 1-0, but by maybe 2 or 3, because they had the clear scoring chances, and I think Atleti had just like 2 shots on goal, even I think from far out wide, and Atleti's best chance came from Cunha, and you have fans reacting whatever, but you can ignore that chance. Let me not say ignore, because well, maybe if he scored and it would be a draw, which favors Atleti, but to be honest, we did not deserve to take even half a point from that game.
I'm impressed you managed to watch that again. I watched it once and had enough for a lifetime. Like I said, I think almost none of the players, had a decent game. I think Depaul, Savic, and Oblak are, the only ones that were remotely good. Jimenez continues his poor form. Made a mistake tracking the run for the goal. He made a similar mistake against Valencia, where Hugo Duro got behind him and scored. I don't know what's wrong with Jimenez, but I hope he fixes up quite soon, because it has been a very costly form for him. We have talked a lot about the Atleti players, underperforming, but we have to maybe give the Milan players some credit. So, Maxi, what did you think of the AC Milan performance, and how does it compare to their recent form?
It didn't take just took 3 minutes until I got my first heart attack when Theo Hernandez went off looking like he was injured, but thankfully he went back in, and we did a I think we did a very good game, to be honest. As Emmanuel said, the counter pressing was nice, the high pressing was effective, and Milan are missing, to this game we were missing Rafael Leao, Bekayo Tomori, and Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who started on the bench. So I'm surprised that we were as dominant as we were. But yeah, I think there were also some individual performances that stood out, and Theo Hernandez was one of them, and I also think that Alexis Salamakers was good in his. He played very intensively, and he was a threat on the right wing. So I think he did good as well. And if we compare this to our recent form, it fits right in there. But we came from a poor performance against Fiorentina. We lost 3-4 and basically gave away some of the goals. So it was nice to bounce back like we did in this game. And seeing over 2 games against Atleti, I think that Milan has shown that we are a great team. But then again, as Emmanuel talked a bit about, it's that Atleti is struggling. Like individual players are struggling, and the team doesn't click as it always does, or always did before. So maybe it's tough to do that comparison, but yeah, I'm very happy, and it felt like a nice redemption after the game at San Siro.
Maxi, what was your thoughts on Kessié and Sandro Tonali's performance? Because to be honest, they had a very good game in shutting down Atleti's threat from the wide areas, given that Kessié was very good at tracking Depaul or Llorente's run in behind. And even though he was caught a couple of times, maybe I think two, but he did an excellent job, maybe playing as a makeshift third centre back. Or you also have Tonali, who did a very good job for tracking either Carrasco or Lemar making runs, because I think both of them have a very good link up, and one of them acts as a decoy and pull the fullback away. But both of these two guys had a very good game. So what were your thoughts on their performance?
Yeah. I think you're doing two good observations there. I think Franck Kessié did one of his better games this season. He hasn't been as dominant as he was last season. This season, he's been good, nowhere near bad. But this was one of his best performances. And Tonali, he's taking steps every game, I feel. Not just with the offensive qualities, but as with the defensive part of the game, as you said, Emmanuel, I think his positioning is much better. He reads the opposition much better this season, and overall delivers good performances. So I feel like he's adapted to what Stefano Pioli wants as a Milan manager, and to this idea, because last season it was his first season coming to a big club, and he had very high expectations from the supporters, and he didn't quite live up to them. He showed glimpses of it, but this season he's showing that every game, I think. So this game was no exception to that. He did very well, and Francesi, one of the best performances he's had this season.
Okay, perfect. And as you have mentioned, AC Milan, they won the midfield battle very, very easily, and I think that was the reason why they were so dominant. Atleti's midfield could create nothing, and like I said, I think De Paul was the only one who played remotely well in midfield. So, Emmanuel, I mean, you have... It's very obvious that Atleti aren't in a very good situation right now. But, you know, what's the reason behind it? Like, is it tactics? Is it the players underperforming? Or is it both? There have been so many issues with the team. It's hard to tell anymore.
Well, firstly, I would say it is true there are some players who are underperforming. And, like... Into the Calderon wrote an article this morning pointing out that some players are feeling comfortable with their positions. Like you have Koke, to be honest, he has not been himself. Like I keep on making excuses for him. He has played so many games, that's the Euros, and also cutting his holiday to come and join the team and the rest. But I think they are him and other guys like that of Llorente and so many. Llorente, well, injured, that excuse me, him also. They have not been at their best. That's true. But the issue is, I think, is with the idea. I think, and that comes to Simeone. How does he want his team to play? The team, I think, against Milan, you see they lack an identity. They don't have a clear game plan. The lineup keep changing each game. Players keep shifting position each game. De Paul played as, I think, right midfielder against Milan, where we all know his favorite position and where he has a great impact is for midfield. And I think that was one of the reasons why we lost against Milan. Like you said, they won the midfield, but De Paul was not there. So it is about the game plan. And to be honest, if you look at this Atleti team and compare to that of the team Cholo has had in the past, well, this team has, to be honest, only one direction or maybe one style they can play, to be honest. They cannot do what that of Okay, or that of Godin, Gabi did in 2014, or that of what his Atleti side that won the Europa League in 2012 did. So I think he has to go towards a more possession-based team, but not just having possession for possession's sake, because to be honest, Atleti are struggling in so many areas, like defending. That is a surprise to many because, wow, a Diego Simeone team is struggling to defend. How come that's possible? Well, it's 2021 and we have a different brand of players now. Players who do well on the ball and defend more with the ball. I think last season, one of the things Atleti were good in the first half of the season was the fact that they were good with the ball. And there were times in which the team held the ball and they defended with the ball. I think that is the way forward that Simeone has to do. But against Milan and also against Osasuna, which both teams press aggressively, the team were shaky with the ball. It's like nobody wants the ball. You give the ball in certain areas, the team loses it. The team wins back the ball in their own half. They are about to progress and the team lose it. You also have that identity issue I talk about by the fact that Atleti lost the ball in the opposition final third. Some players are going to high press, others are tracking back. That leaves a gap between both players. That means if the players who are going to high press are bypassed, the opposition team has space to run into. And we saw that against Milan. We saw that against Osasuna. So I think Simeone has to be clear about the idea. It is true. Some have talked about the fact that the squad is not balanced. That means Atleti went for more attackers this summer and the defensive side of things is really not great. That is true. But I think the first thing is about having the idea, how do I want my team to play? When he has that, then he can then fit in the different parts or the different players to make it a working system. Because at the moment, systematically, whatever you see, but at least you don't have a clear game plan. And also, when I talk about game plan, you also have the fact that the build-up play this season has been really poor, which is something that improved a lot last season. And also, you have when Arrive arrived at the final third, it's like they don't know what to do. There was a viz put up on Twitter, I think, some days ago, talking about how the different teams do. You have Aletia, one of those teams who managed to get into the final third or position half, but or good areas, but they don't know what to do. That's because the team have turned into a team and is now relying on a lot of individuals for chance creation. Like I mentioned before, you had Carrasco's goal against Espanyol, and there are a lot more. You have hoping that a player plays a pass between the line or someone dribble past another player. That means the team is relying a lot of individual. We don't have a clear mechanism of how we want to move team about. Like last season, we draw them to the left. Hermoso play to the right, and you have Trippier Llorente connection into play. But this season, the team is just it just lost. To be honest, to be honest, I think Trippier is one of those who have been underperforming. But the team also misses him. So I think it's about the game plan. If Cholo can get how he wants Saletti to play, I think everything becomes good.
Well, to be honest, I think he has I think his plan is clear, and it's playing in the same style he played in last season. But as our friend Emiliano on Twitter have talked, I think it's just not possible with the level of some players. Last season, the reason the 3-5-2 system worked so well was because of three players in particular, and those were Trippier, who's now injured but hasn't been himself at all this season, and Hermoso, whose ball progression was very crucial last season in the first half of the season, and of course Koke, who when he plays for Spain, you still see the Koke of last season, because he's playing, as an eight. But when playing as a pivot, like Simeone is playing him currently, he's just not at the same level as last season. So, I think those three players are. Their level is affecting Simeone's plans a lot, and like you said, the squad was built just for this formation, but those three players are just not there aren't any other players that could play in their place, so that's a very big problem, and it's weird that it wasn't addressed in the summer. The only defensive midfielder Atletico have is Kondogbia, and Simeone doesn't look like he trusts him a lot. And if you want to make an argument that Simeone needs to maybe return to a 4-4-2 formation, then the only left back in the squad is Renan Lodi, and similar to Kondogbia, he hasn't given Simeone many reasons to trust him. So he's just stuck in a weird place where he wants to play in a system, but and it's the only system that's possible with the players, but also the players aren't able to execute it. So I think and also another thing is the defensive issues. And the fact that they're a bit overblown by the players making too many individual mistakes. So I think this, while, of course, Simeone isn't immune to criticism, and I think his approach in the AC Milan game was wrong, but also I think, a lot of the blame is on the players and on. A poor squad planning. So Maxi, from an outsider's perspective, what do you think of this?
Yeah, I think you guys are touching on the right areas. My two observations are that that I think that maybe Simeone has elaborated a bit too much with different formations. I think that it's better to stick to one, or maybe for some matches where it's required to maybe change a little bit. But then I also think that, as you both have said, that some players are really underperforming, and that itself creates a big problem, because if you have a squad built for a certain type of formation or idea, and the first choice player isn't performing, then perhaps you don't have anyone to fill in what the qualities he has. Like, one example I can think of right away is, I think that Marcos Llorente is doing a very good job, but he doesn't have that same offensive threat from the wing as Kieran Trippier in good form has. That's just one example, but yeah, I think that there are many reasons that are, how should you say, collaborating for Atleti's struggles right now. But mainly, I would say those two areas. At least from an outsider perspective, I don't follow Atleti as intensively as you two do. But from the games I've seen, that's at least my interpretation of it.
Well, Maxi, I will agree with you on the fact that some players are underperforming, and I'm going to come back to what Ata said about too low ones to play like last season. To be honest, if you look at Atleti's best games this season, I think one of them is against Athletic Club, even though it was a draw. Let me not say best, but one of their very good performances. I think it's down to the fact that Atleti are, when they have the ball and they are, lose the ball, they are able to regain back possession in the opposition half. But this season, that's been missing, and that's why I talk about a clear game plan. What happens, or what do we do when we lost the ball? If we lost the ball and we want to all track back or delay, that is very good. I'm not one to compare or like to compare, but if you watch, I think Chelsea's games, not compare and say we should play like Chelsea, but if you watch their games when they lost the ball, I think against certain teams you see them tracking back, but they do delay tactics, not committing tactical foul, but just standing in front of the guy and waiting for other players to get back into position. And there are other times in which you see them high pressing and winning back the ball. So I'm not saying we should play like Chelsea, but I'm just giving an example. We need to have, when we have, how do we get the ball off the pitch? That's one of the things. When we are in the playing against, for example, we're playing against Cadiz, when they are sitting in their four, in their two lines of four and compact, how do we move them? How do we destabilize that defending? One of the ways is using Carrasco's dribbling ability. That's good. But if that doesn't work, how do we do that? That's what is my problem. When we lost the ball high up the pitch, came back, that means technically the team is caught in between two ideas. Yes, but to be honest, I think the blame goes 50-50, part on it on Cholo and part on it on the players. But I get why you see majority on the players, because if the players are performing, I want to see the Atleti I saw for 60 minutes against Real Betis. I want to see the Atleti I saw against Barcelona. That means a team that played like a team that had identity, a team that knows how to play, knows what they want to do in the game, and not a team that is just caught between two or three ideas.
Yeah, and I think that as I was talking about a bit earlier, that it comes back a bit to having as few formations as possible. Because look at Milan. They played a 4-2-3-1 for 2 years now, I think, and Klopp's Liverpool, they played 4-3-3 more or less since he came there. When they lose the ball, when they have the ball, everything is automized. Like, everyone knows what to do. And when you switch formations, that creates a bit of confusion, even though we're talking about professional footballers here. Of course, they're smart and they can take instructions, but you don't get that same automation when you switch formations, because it creates a change between where every player should be, what their first action should be when they lose the ball, when they have the ball. I think that that makes it important to have as few formations as possible. And of course, you can switch around, but maybe not as much as Simeone has done this season.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, yes, I think that's also a point also. But I think down to the formation part, well, like I tell said, it's down to the poor squad planning at the summer, the club investing a lot on attackers. That means we have so many players. I think it's maybe the side effects of having an unbalanced squad and so many players in attack. Well, it is the first time in 10 years, to be honest, that we are bringing topics like identity concerning Simeone's team, game plan, and all these legs. Hopefully, these things get sorted out soon.
Yeah, like now you have just for the two forward positions you have Griezmann, Suarez, Matheus Cunha, and João Felix. That's like four top shelf players to compete for two positions. I understand like the squad planning it becomes a bit front heavy. To a certain extent. Sorry, I forgot Angel Correa as well.
Okay, I mean, hopefully it isn't too late to fix all the problems. It isn't in La Liga as Atleti are still 4 points away from first place. The elephant in the room, obviously, being the Champions League and how close Atleti are to crashing out from the group stage. The situation right now is very complicated. Atleti sit fourth in the group. Obviously, they have the same amount of points as AC Milan, four. AC Milan lead on goal difference, -3 for Atleti. AC Milan have -2. Since the head-to-head matches, was won by Atleti and was won by AC Milan. Away goals don't count anymore. If Atleti and AC Milan, I think if they have the same goal difference, then Atleti progress since Atleti scored two goals. No, sorry. No, n never mind. It's the away goals scored in all matches, and Atleti have one more than AC Milan. So I think this is the reason Atleti would progress if the goal difference is the same. But obviously, that would require Atleti to beat Porto, who have one more point than Atletico at the moment. Maybe Atleti would rely on a gift from Liverpool. Do you see that possible, Maxi?
Yeah, even though I think that Klopp will do as he did against Porto this week, that he will rotate the 11 and play some youngsters. He threw in Tyler Morton for his Champions League debut this week and rested Trent Alexander-Arnold for Nico Williams, and I think he will do that next game as well against Milan at San Siro. Even though he will probably do that, I think that Liverpool will be too strong because their project is on a completely different level than Milan is right now. Even though when they're resting players, they're still a well-functioning machine and has a very much quality. So I think it will be too much for Milan. But hopefully, Milan will get a point. And hopefully this will end in a draw against Atletico Madrid and Porto, so Milan goes through. But yeah, I have a hard time seeing it happen.
Well, you picked the worst outcome for Atleti, so I understand it since you're a fan of both teams, but still, have some thought for the rest of us. Emmanuel, what's your expectation for the last match day?
Well, to be honest, it's tough. Atleti are really struggling in the Champions League. I think, not quite sure, but their record, I think, is it 4 matches won in about 20 something games in the Champions League or whatever, but it's really poor. And going away at Porto, well, that's, it doesn't give much I'm not really optimistic, but I'm sure Atleti can win the given the squad they have, and relying on Liverpool to do Atleti a favor is really huge, given Klopp might rotate. Like he said, they are a well-functioning team, but I think Milan has what it takes to beat Liverpool, like we saw at Anfield. I think if Milan really goes for it, they'll be able to beat Liverpool, because we are all sure Klopp will rotate, like Massi said. So it all relies on Atleti and relying on Liverpool. Well, hopefully Liverpool can help us this time, despite our recent rivalry, whatever. But it all relies on Atleti, first of all, doing their job at the Estádio do Dragão before they can then be thinking about results from elsewhere. So if Atleti can go all out against Porto, which I think they will, and which I think is going to be good, then Atleti has a slight chance to progress. Well, it's football, you never know.
It's football, and you never know, indeed. And speaking of that, Maxi, AC Milan have been doing exceptionally well. In the league, they are on 32 points, joint top with Napoli. What's next for AC Milan? What's their upcoming schedule like? And do you see them going all the way and winning the league?
Well, the upcoming games are quite good. We have Sassuolo at home this weekend. Sassuolo is like a boogie team for Milan. We always struggle against them, but hopefully we will take a win there. And after that, we have Genoa and Salernitana, two teams that are expected to be in the bottom half of the table. But I think this. Milan are playing much better this season than we did last season. When we were top of the table at this point of the season, and I think it has a lot to do with mentality. This season we're stronger mentally, and when we're down, we can fight back, and we've done that sometimes this season. If it will be enough to win the league, I kind of doubt it. I think that Inter in the end will take the title, because they have a group of players who have a higher quality overall than Milan, and they have a very good coach and a clear game plan. And I think Milan might fall in the long run. I hope not, but I have a feeling about it right now. I really hope that it will prove me wrong.
It'd be very impressive for Inter to go back to back despite losing Conte and Lukaku and obviously Hakimi. So yeah, I mean it'd be very impressive, but it'd be nice to see maybe more variety in the league. Since Serie A has been dominated by both Inter Milan and Juventus for 2 decades now.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that both Milan and Napoli are growing as competitors to Inter, especially Inter. I think that Juventus they're not on their way down, but they have stagnated a bit where they were, and Milan and Napoli has grown closer to that. And yeah, I really welcome a change in the winner of the Scudetto, but I think that Inter will win it in the end this year, because even though they lost Conte, Hakimi, and Lukaku, they've replaced the players well, and they hired Simone Inzaghi, who has a fairly similar game plan and philosophy as Antonio Conte, albeit not as intensive and aggressive,
It's hard to be.
No, but they're two fairly similar managers, and I don't see much change between them. So I think they already won last year with this philosophy, formation, game plan, idea. So yeah, I think they will be too much in the end.
And speaking of upcoming matches, Emmanuel, can you give us your thoughts about Atleti's upcoming game against Cadiz?
About Cadiz, I think that's the most win game for Atleti, given they are already, let me say, behind a couple of points. That's behind Real Madrid and Real Sociedad. And Cadiz also need the points because they have been struggling lately. And to be honest, I think they have similar issues Atleti are having because they are also having the identity crisis because the Cadiz team of last season, we knew that they were solid and they were difficult to break down. But this season, well, they have been playing deep, but they have been so easy to open up. They conceded 4 goals against Getafe, who have not won at home and are the lowest goal scorers in the division. That tells you a lot about their current state of defending. So I think that's a chance for Atleti to maybe regain confidence, use that match as a confidence booster ahead of the tough stage schedule, which is features Sevilla, Real Madrid, and also Porto. So looking at things tactically, if Cholo gets things right, and in my opinion, at the current moment, I go in favor of playing the 3-5 or is 3-2. 3-2, 3-2, I think, or 3-2-4, in which we have the three centre backs and we have Koke and Rodrigo De Paul in midfield, and we have Correa, João Félix, or Griezmann operating the half spaces like they did against Betis. Then we have Suarez as the main striker, and we have our wing backs as maybe this time Llorente or maybe Vasilico, and we have Carrasco. So I would love, because in my opinion, I think that's Atleti's best formation because that was similar thing they used against Valencia, I think, and also what they did against Betis. Because you have Griezmann and Correa, if they both play in those half spaces or interiors, they are able to come back and make Atleti to have superiority in midfield. That is 4-2 to be against Cadiz, two midfielders also drop and drag players out of position for our wing backs to occupy. So to be honest, I'm looking forward to this game because it would really be the performance, not just the result. The result would be good for Atleti, but like we saw against Osasuna, the result was good and the performance was bad. We carried that performance into the Milan game. So I want expecting the team to do very well, have a good game, and to be honest, play like they did against Real Betis. It will not be easy, like I said. Cadiz are struggling and need also a win, but we can use this opportunity because Cadiz are really fragile at the back at the moment.
Yeah, perfect. And hopefully it is the confidence booster that will it could be. So moving on, we have received two questions for today's episode, and the first one is from Taj saying, "What needs to change for João Félix to start being decisive in the final third?" Emmanuel, what do you think?
Well, I guess Felix has the same issue why Iñaki Williams has. I'm not comparing both players because I know Twitter is a very funny place where you call one player and then you talk about him having similar issues to another player. They go and start saying you have said this and that. But I think it's about being hesitant in front of goal. The goal is there and they waste a lot of time to pull the trigger. They are like waiting for it to be clear. That means, how can I say? It's like he wants to assure things, make things clear. It's like, if I'm kicking this ball, yes, that means I have confidence that no defender is going to block it and it's going to go straight to the goal. I think that's the same issue. That's the issue Felix has. If he can maybe be less hesitant, if he has a sight at goal, maybe he pulls the first sight at goal. I think that improves things a lot for him because at times he takes one or two touches which are unnecessary in the box, and at the end the defender has blocked the angle. But well, if you just kick as you see the ball. I'm not saying you should be playing like Rafa Mir because that's really bad, but I have that instinct of the fact that if I'm in front of goal, I just need to pull the trigger, maybe look for an angle, and then things will happen. I think I read an article about the striker, the need for a striker having a consistent style of hitting the ball. I think maybe he starts from there, having a technique, hitting the ball technique. I think Lewandowski also has one, so has Ronaldo. I think many good goal scorers have one. So if you can have that, or maybe practice on that, and then also being less hesitant in front of goal, I think that improves his finishing for me, because he gets into good position at times, but he's really hesitant. It's like, should I kick the ball now? Would the defender block it? All those questions, in the end, he turns and he doesn't do anything.
Maxi, what would you like to give us your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think Emmanuel is right, and it feels like a question of both confidence and not second guessing your own, or should say, ability or talent. It feels like sometimes he's second guessing himself, and in the end, that makes him fall in the final third. And I think that he shouldn't stop. She should stop doing that and just go for it, because he has the talent. He's shown it before that he's a good player in the final third, at least during periods. And yeah, I think it's a question of confidence and not second guessing yourself. And it's easier said than done, but he should trust himself more.
And I think, there hasn't been too many questions about his playmaking. He creates so many chances, and maybe doesn't always get the assist, since maybe players would get play maybe another pass. It's his goal scoring ability that's more to question. And During his time at Atleti, he hasn't really been the greatest finisher. While he was, obviously a brilliant finisher at Benfica, I don't know if he could be, that type of player right now at Atleti. But as both of you have said, he has shown promise, and he has been growing more and more, and improving, all aspects of his game. But he has been hindered by injury after injury. So hopefully him just staying fit and having more game time would see him improve further in all aspects of his game. Another question we have received is from Baku, saying, do you think Luis Suarez deserves recognition as an Atleti legend, given what he has done in his first season, and obviously his numbers being maybe better or as good as Falcao? Maxi.
Not yet, I would say. I think to be a club legend, it takes, as you said, Luis Suarez has done a lot for Atletico de Madrid. But I think the term club legend kind of gets overused these days, and I don't think he's that yet. I would say he is a club legend at Barcelona and at Liverpool, even Ajax. But for me, at least personally, you have to play more and you have to win more, even though he already has won. But yeah, that's just my take on it.
Emmanuel, what's your take on it?
Well, I think, to be honest, it's difficult, because when you talk about legend, at times most associate legend status at the football club with longevity. But there are certain players who I don't know how to say, but just have that one brilliant moment. They may play just for a season, but that brilliant moment, let's say, for example, we have somebody like Player X. I don't want to call a name because that may bring controversy, but I have Player X, and Player X hasn't really played much the whole season, and then he comes and he scores an important goal And let's say at the end of the season and the team wins maybe the Champions League or the league. And well, but to be honest, I think I will agree with Maxi with the fact that I think Suarez has been really good, very vital. But I think he just goes down in the history as one of those very important player analytics history for what he has done in the two seasons, maybe similar to what Villa did. So I don't really think the legend status at the moment, well, that's really something I will reserve maybe for maybe what he does this season or the season after that. But he's a very good player, and to be honest, I think all the fans will remember the goal he scored against Valladolid, the goal he scored against Osasuna. Those are important goals in Atleti history because he enabled Atleti to win La Liga last season.
Well, I think he does have, a bigger claim to being a club legend than Villa, mainly because he was, let's say, I think Villa was, while was, he was a very crucial player in the title win. There were, more players that are more important for the team back then, and maybe he wasn't the face of the team, so to speak. But Suarez, I think he was the face of the campaign. He was, let's say, the player that changed so much in the team after, obviously them lacking the ability to finish chances in the previous seasons. So while I do think he does have a very good argument to be considered one, I wouldn't call him one yet. And hopefully he does show, more. Does give more to the team in this season, and if you're in news, the upcoming season as well. So yeah, if he does achieve a bit more, I think he would have a very great argument to be considered one. So yeah, those are the only two questions we have received. Thank you so much for everyone that sent them, and. For the final part of the podcast, we have a small surprise for Maxi. It's pub quiz time, and we have a few questions for you about Atleti, and we'll see how good you can answer them. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Yeah. So the first question is. Who is Atletico Madrid's record top scorer? Who's the player that scored more most goals in the history?
Shit. Is it Forlan?
No, it isn't Forlan. It is Luis Aragonés with 172 goals. Forlan, I believe he had about 100, but I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
So yeah, it was a bit tough one, that one. And the second question is, who's the player that scored the most goals for Atleti in the Champions League?
My first guess is Griezmann.
That is true. Yeah. So yeah, you've got that one right. Now, can you name three players that played for both AC Milan and Atletico Madrid?
Fernando Torres, Theo Hernandez.
Okay, we'll count that one. He didn't play in an official match, but I guess we can count that one.
Oh
No,
exactly.
no.
Oh, Kalinic, Nikola Kalinic.
Ah.
Yep. So
I
yeah,
was so happy when we sold that guy to you guys.
yeah, I wasn't. Okay.
He has to give one more.
Oh, what that guy's name? David Lopez, did he play for you guys?
Nope.
No, that was Real Madrid.
Real
Yeah, I had some feeling that he played for both. Yeah, no,
Ah.
I can't figure out anymore. Oh,
Peggy. Peggy.
Alessio Cerci.
Yep. The biggest
Yes.
legend of them all. Yep.
Yes.
Ah, nah, help
You had also Abbiati and Albertini for options.
Abbiati.
And of
Oh,
course,
Abbiati, I
Christian
didn't
Vieri.
know.
So
Yeah,
that's one out of three.
in 2007.
Legend. Bubu Vieri.
Okay, so next question is three players that played for both Liverpool and Atleti.
Luis García, Fernando Torres.
Yep.
Oh yeah, Luis Suarez. Yeah.
Yeah,
Good.
you had Javier
Mankeo.
Manqueo and Insua for
And
options as
Sua.
well.
Yeah. Insua, that
Okay.
guy.
Yeah. So yeah, you're doing pretty well. So
Ah,
let's
we.
throw in a very tough one.
Shit.
In 2014, Atleti played AC Milan in the Champions League. Atleti won 4-1. What it was a much more fun game than the one we had this week. Can you remember in the second goal? It was deflected off a defender. Can you remember who that defender was?
Oh, I want to say Daniele Bonera or Gabriel Paletta.
No, that's not correct.
Was it?
Okay, it was neither. I'll give you another one since this one's tough.
Nah,
Okay.
it's okay. Ah, il y a du favoritisme à tard. The legendary Rami.
It was either Rami, yeah.
Oh,
Legend.
yeah, that
Oh.
guy is a legend. Did you guys know that he paid part of his own transfer fee to move to Milan?
I did not know
Wow.
that. From Valencia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Milan had a
Wow.
shit economy, so he paid part of his own transfer fee.
Oh, that's interesting to
Yeah.
know. Yeah. So yeah, that's 3 questions out of
Out
five. You
of
answered correctly. I'd say you did very well.
Ah, yeah, thank you. The
Nah,
hardest
we.
one I the hardest one I
Nah.
think was Luis Aragonés.
Yeah, it was a
Yeah.
tough one. I think if you're not a fan of the team, it's tough to know, those old players and who exactly their record holders are. So, that apart, I think that your answers were on point. So, yeah, well done.
Thank you very much. That was a fun
Okay.
idea.
Yeah, I mean it was Emmanuel's idea, so of course it was
I enjoyed
good.
that.
Perfect. And I enjoyed today's episode with you. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's always fun to be able to talk to you guys. Thank you for having me.
Of course, and it's always fun to talk to you as well. And of course, thank you, Emmanuel.
Well, yeah, thank you, Atta. It was good talking with you and Maxi as always. Hopefully, we have Maxi in the future. And shout out to Selena and Hannah for Felipe's performance against Osasuna. Yes, we didn't talk about that game, but he was very good and he covered up for his mistake he made. So hopefully, he does well this weekend against Cadiz.
Hopefully. I mean, we'll see if he plays in the first place since both Savic and Jimenez are back, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see. And of course, thank you guys for sticking with us the entire time. Remember, nunca dejes de creer. It's probably one of the best time to keep saying that since Atleti aren't in a very good place, but always never stop believing, and see you in the next episode.
Que luchan como hermanos, defendiendo sus colores, con un fuego noble y sano, derrochando coraje y corazón. Que siempre la afición se estremece con pasión cuando queda. quedas entre todos campeón. Y se ve frente al balón a un equipo de verdad.